Sam Gum was once just a dream. He says he loves you. He says it with meat. He comes to buy a meat wreath, and he makes a cider out of beef. He's thinking about his meat cape. He says he's waiting for that garbage ape. The meat fairy's coming along. So Heathcliff, won't you play your meat song? Whoa.
Hello, welcome to the Meatcast. My name is Nick. With me, as always, is Kyle. Kyle, I was listening along to the song as the intro came in. I was just thinking, wow, what a perfect intro song that is for us. How lucky are we to have it?
It's really good. We're really grateful to have it. It's so good it made you forget your own name as you were doing that intro. I mean, you hesitated.
Oh, yeah.
You were like, my name is Nick. Or maybe it was an Ira Glassian style hesitation. Oh,
yeah. Do you think he's for real, or do you think he's just kind of doing an act with that
guy's
stammering?
That guy's a phony. Come on. Yeah. He knows exactly what he's doing.
The Radiolab guys are big phonies too, I think.
Yeah. They're all this like faux, you know, rhythms, all the fake rhythms that they add in. It's good radio, but come on, nobody's talking like that, really.
Yeah.
Every beat of that is scripted out.
We should say thank you to Louis Zong for letting us use that song for.
We should, but we won't.
We don't say that enough. No, and we won't.
I do have an idea for an edit of that song. I think needs to be like a halftime kind of version that gets really like, you know, like. Luck be a lady to, you know, that kind of style.
You said halftime, I thought you meant like Chopped and Screwed.
Well, that's not a good idea.
Which would be sick.
I thought you meant like a Super Bowl halftime with like a marching band or something. Do they have marching bands in the Super Bowl? Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, as like in support of a main artist, you know. Mm.
Well, we should say, let's welcome in our guest, a comedian and actor, wow. I'm guessing.
Improviser is the most I can play.
Okay. An improviser.
Listen,
from Austin, Texas.
I'm not here for this shortchanging. Have you acted?
I guess so. Yeah.
Yes. You are an actor.
I'm an actor and stand-up comedian because I have done stand-up.
That's exactly right.
Regretfully.
And clown.
Yeah.
You can add clown to it, too.
Cat Williams, thank you for joining us. Cat, what do you know about Heathcliff?
Well, I've learned so much about Heathcliff from listening to your podcast. Before that, I didn't know anything about Heathcliff.
We like to hear that.
Know it existed, but the thing is, so when I would read, like, what do you call them, the funny pages?
We do call them that.
As a kid, you know, like whatever syndicated stuff is in the local paper, I felt so like I just didn't get anything. Like, I'm like, I get that this is supposed to be funny because it's called the funny pages, but I'm not sure what the joke is in any of these. Maybe Garfield was sometimes I could get it, so because
it's a comic for dummies,
exactly. But then because I felt so stupid as a young child trying to get the jokes of comics, I then avoided them after that, as I have avoided many things that have ever made me feel stupid.
So wait, do you really think you didn't understand the jokes, or do you think they were just bad comics and they were just weren't funny?
I mean, I think I was like a 7-year-old child who doesn't have the context for many adult jokes. Like, what 7-year-old like reads Dilbert and like thinks that's funny?
Me.
Yeah,
we've talked about it on the show before about how we liked stuff like Dilbert, even though we had no
managers.
Context. Yeah, we didn't have managers, but we had parents. And what is a parent if not the manager of your house?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, well, this is just cementing that I was developmentally behind.
But if our parents are the managers, does that mean like our grandparents are the CEOs or the VPs?
Yeah. Okay. That is
God
what that
is
means.
The CEO. No.
God is the CEO. Our grandparents are senior VPs.
And our parents are really just director level, which is like, you know, nothing. Why even bother having a title?
What about Far Side? Are you old enough to have read The Far Side, Kat?
I've encountered it like when I was older, you know, like maybe like middle school, high school age. But that was probably one of the more alienating comics as a young.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not getting Dilbert and you see cow tools, it's like, what is this?
Cow tools is the famously inscrutable Far Side that doesn't make sense, right? Like it means nothing.
Well, I people say that, but it is like, I don't know, the joke seems so apparent to me. It's a cow with a table of tools, and they're cow tools.
They're tools for being
they're tools
a cow?
For the cow. And it's funny because why would there need to be specific tools for cows, you know?
It's like, it's just like, oh, life is a joke, right? Like, that's just kind of what it was like.
Sort of Dada-esque, much like Heathcliff.
Well, hey, speaking of Heathcliff, let's get into This Week in Heathcliff.
This Week on Heathcliff.
We'll take a look at this Heathcliff comic strip from, I believe, Friday, April 19th. This is we're closing out Statue Week in Heathcliff. Is that what we call it? Sculpture Week? Statue Week?
Yeah, Sculpture I think Statue Week makes sense.
So Heathcliff and Grandpa Nutmeg and a pest control guy are standing at the corner in the house, and there's a sort of Heathcliff statue made out of cheese sitting on a block in front of the mouse hole, and the pest control man is saying, "Looks like an idol made of cheese," which that sums it up. Oh, Kyle, you got good. A cat on your shoulder.
Yeah, I had to pick him up because he's really knocking his head into the microphone stand and bumping this thing around. I was trying to not be distracting, but
no,
introducing
please.
A cat onto the camera is the ultimate distraction.
I'm going to need you to buy even more time because I'm terrified right now that I, as an adult, still don't understand. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, if that was your problem, this is going to be a deeply triggering experience. Because there's really nothing to get here.
Well, know? It's an idol made like a... An idol made of cheese. Who do you think made the idol?
What it says on the thing. It, that's what I mean. There's nothing to get. It just says it.
Yeah.
But what is funny about it being the pest control guy?
That is. Well, I'm not sure why the pest control. Well, he's sort of an expert in mice.
Yeah. The mice built the idol.
Okay.
That's what I'm taking from this because it's in front of the mouse hole.
Yeah.
So the pest control guy using his knowledge of mice is saying, "Oh yeah, I've seen these. This is an idol made of cheese."
Okay, so they consider Garfield to be they consider Heathcliff to be a sort of a god to them, right? They're trying to appease him.
Yeah, they're hoping to win his favor.
Okay.
Which has worked because he's famously doesn't kill them. That's the big problem. He's not doing his job.
See, let me walk you through how I didn't understand this.
Please.
Well, I clearly see now that is a mouse hole. But in my mind, before you said that, I believed that Heathcliff lived in that hole.
A cat hole, wow.
He had erected a cheese idol to himself. Or, well, wait. you think that perhaps he could have made it and put it by the mouse hole to give the pest control guy the idea that the mice made it, but he actually made it?
What, to what end?
To impress the pest control guy.
Okay. Again, I ask, to what end? Why would he?
Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't you want to impress the pest control guy?
Do you think that's you're better fair. Than the pest control guy, Kyle?
I don't. You guys are right. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I also forgot that mice can be considered pests.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
true. I feel like I know enough people that have like rats as pets that it's become normal.
I had a rat as a kid.
We did?
Yeah. We had like two rats, and we thought they were supposed to be both like lady rats, but then of course they had babies and they had a whole bunch of little baby rats. And then, I swear to God, and the rest of my family doesn't remember it this way. But so we used to live in this house and we had this like a rat terrarium or rat cage. It wasn't a cage though, you know, it was kind of looked like a fish tank for rats.
It was more than a cage.
I would hope so. It was a cage though, essentially. But so the rats would stay in there. There were these like little white cute rats. But then every now and then this giant black rat would show up in there. Like several times as big as the little white rats. I'm sorry, what were you saying, Kat?
The rest of your family doesn't remember the big black rat.
Well, my sisters remember the big black rat. That's not even in dispute. But it would sometimes just show up in the cage and then leave the cage. Like, we don't know how it got in there, where it came from.
What? And this isn't something your family investigated?
I don't remember an investigation. Where the dispute comes in is, I swear to God, I remember we moved at some point to a different house. And we brought the little white rats in their rat cage. And then at the new house, one day the black rat showed up again.
No, no. You got a damn ratula showing up.
A rat demon attached to you.
Yeah.
It wasn't attached to the house.
Like an Insidious.
Yeah.
It's like stepping in gum.
You know? What about this? Do you ever see the black rat now? Is the black rat?
No, my dog kind of looks like a giant.
Nick,
black
look
rat
behind
though.
You.
Oh God. That I do like sometimes think about that rat and get freaked out. It really freaked me out when I was a kid.
Yeah, yes, it should. It should freak you out now. An unexplained rat?
I don't know how it got in and out of the cage is the crazy thing too.
Man. Did it disturb the tiny white rats? Like, what would they do when the black rat was in there?
I think they all got along.
That's what you think.
Well, I was going to do a punch-up for this one, but now I feel like we need to move on. We really went down an interesting road with the black rat. Maybe I'll think of another one later.
What? No, I want to hear it.
Yeah, we got to do the punch-up. Okay.
It's not good.
Punch it up. Kyle's Corner. Punch it up.
And again, just like another great song.
You should chop through that.
Honestly, yeah. We should chop and screw all of our jingles. Can you solve the riddle of the stinks?
Oh, that's good.
Because it's cheese. Cheese stinks.
Not all cheese stinks.
Yeah, but come on. But come on. You draw a couple of wavy lines on it.
Yeah.
You're covered.
That's good.
The riddle of the stinks.
That's good.
I like that prevents me from having to be confused about who made the stinks.
Does it?
Well, it's a mystery.
It could
Oh, right. It gives you permission to not know.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
You start thinking maybe it's aliens.
Yeah. Hmm. Aliens. Okay. And the meme, the guy, aliens. Right.
I don't know.
This is so good.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't even know this one was coming up. I didn't even remember this one.
Okay, so we're in Grandma Nutmeg's workshop, where she makes all of her pottery, which I didn't realize she had.
Which we famously have seen before.
And she's sculpting some sort of sculpture out of clay, I think, on the table. And it's an overturned pile of trash with a trash can on top of it. And Heathcliff sitting on the trash can thinking, with a sort of a thinking man's pose. And Grandpa and Heathcliff are in the doorway. And Grandma is saying, "My latest piece, it's called The Stinker." And Heathcliff does not look happy.
He looks real upset. I don't know if I've ever seen him look this upset.
No, he looks, like a different person.
Yeah.
Different cat.
And I'd like to point out, too, this is the one from 420.
Oh, shit.
It doesn't really seem 420 themed.
No, it doesn't.
We like to use these Heathcliff comics. We like to get to know our guests. How do we say it?
We like to use the comics to get to know our guests.
What do you do on 420? Are you a 420 person?
So this year was actually the first year, probably in many, that I did not observe in any way.
Wow.
And not really on purpose, but I've been doing something lately called being home sober, which is where I don't smoke weed anymore if I'm at home. And I wasn't at home all day. In fact, I was quite a bit out and about, and yet no one offered me any marijuana the whole
time. Wow.
I guess
sounds like you're hanging out with the wrong crowd.
Yeah, they're bad influences.
Friends from the right side of the tracks.
Yeah. And I'm ashamed of that, but, you know, what are you going to do? Did you observe?
I don't smoke weed. I'm a good boy.
Smoke weed?
What's that?
Does Heathcliff canonically smoke marijuana?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know if we've ever seen him even. I feel like we've had a fair amount of situations where he's surrounded by clouds. So you could easily, you know, build your brain cannon that he is.
Did you just call head cannon brain cannon?
Yeah, I couldn't think of the word.
Sounds like Kyle's been smoking a little too much of the.
Oh, guys, I'm fucked up.
The Chiba, buddy. Sounds like Kyle's been wheezing
the Chiba.
Do people still smoke out of bongs, or are bongs a thing of the past?
Absolutely.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure I don't know.
I remember it was a big deal when you'd buy a big old bong. You know, you'd buy you'd pull your money, you'd get a big old bong for the whole dorm.
That was actually the most celebrated part in the purchasing of the bong. About smoking.
You know, you get one with like two different layers of water that the smoke would go through.
And then you save the receipt. And you put it on the wall with all the other bond receipts. a photo of you shaking the hand of the kid working at the head shop.
Happy 420.
But I am glad I did understand this one, I feel.
Yeah.
This is a great one.
It's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love... You know I love The Stinker.
And Heathcliff, he is a stinker.
He is a stinker. Yeah, he can put on that sourpuss as much as he wants, but the truth is the truth.
Wait, yeah, is it not clay, but rather clay cat litter?
Oh, wow.
Because his litter got stolen for art.
And that's why it stinks so much.
Yeah.
That's so upsetting to think about. That is one of the grossest thoughts I've ever.
I don't think we've ever seen a litter box in Heathcliff, have we?
No, I don't recall. I don't even know if I mean, surely at some point Peter's mentioned litter.
Yeah, but one of those that's gotten trained to go in the toilet.
Oh, yeah,
could be. Yeah,
yeah. He is walking around on two legs, so not too much of a leap.
All right, let's leap into the next comic. This one's from April 22nd. And this is the beginning of Helmet Week, which is very exciting. So Heathcliff is sitting...
Wait, did we skip... Oh, the 21st was Sunday, probably.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I don't mean... Okay.
Heathcliff's sitting in a green chair with a laptop on his lap, and he's wearing his cheaters, so you can see the screen. He looks very cute. Iggy is standing next to him, and... In the foreground is a mouse walking around out in the open. He's wearing a helmet that says "No Fear," and Iggy is telling Heathcliff, "You're slipping."
Okay. I don't know if he's slipping so much as he's always been this way.
Well, yeah, Kat, do you get this one?
Well, he should be murdering the mouse.
Yes, yeah. And he's That's slipping.
Right. He never murdered them before, though.
No.
No. That's the whole game here is that Heathcliff does not do him job.
Kat, you ever wear No Fear shirts? Were those big when you were a child?
Is that like a skater thing or something?
I don't think it was skater specifically.
More of an attitude brand.
Yeah. Is it kind of more like the Bart Simpson kind of like craze?
A little bit, yeah. I think that's fair to say. It was No Fear, Big Dog, these types of brands. Big Johnson. These were all.
I learned about Big Dog only like a year ago because it was suggested to me that I was wondering how I could appear more heterosexual, and. So suggested that I wear more Big Dog shirt. Huh.
I don't know.
I don't know if
those are worn. I think those are only worn ironically these days, okay. As far as I know.
Yeah. Good to know.
I maybe had a couple No Fear shirts.
You did? Wow. Middle school era?
Yeah, probably. Maybe earlier than that, actually. I don't know.
Do you feel like you truly had No Fear?
Shirks. Huh?
Do you feel like you truly had No Fear at that point?
No. Especially untrue if I was wearing them to middle school. I can't imagine a place where I had more fear.
Yeah, I was never confident enough to wear those shirts.
What? Like... What do you mean confident?
No, I hear what you're saying, Nick, because it's like, I think that it's hubris to, you know, just be wearing that and be having fear, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know that anyone ever saw someone in a No Fear shirt and said, "This motherfucker.
Oh,
look at the balls on this fucking asshole."
People who would have had no, I would have believed it in middle school. Those people are, they, I don't know if they're in prison now, but they've spent time.
Well, some people pointed out on Twitter the reminded them of the great Branson Reese One Fear comic. You guys know this one?
No.
Oh, yes.
It's like a three-panel strip and a guy wearing a No Fear shirt. And then the second panel is I can't remember if it's like someone talking to him or if he sees an image that just says, what if they made Simpsons porn illegal?
I think it's some. I think it's someone else wearing a shirt saying that.
Yeah. And then the third panel, the same guy's wearing a shirt that says One Fear.
Yeah. Wait, what comic is this?
This is Branson, past guest Branson Reese.
One of his,
I think, pretty early comics. It's very funny.
That's good.
Like Heathcliff that. Helms made this edit here of the Branson comic where it's basically the same comic except we have the No Fear Mouse with the switching to the One Fear helmet in the last panel.
Wonderful.
Wow. Last week's guest, Heathcliff Helms, or was that 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
Wow. So those mice are just behind their mouse hole, maybe even in the mouse hole, just jerking off all the time.
What? Oh, because of the
Simpsons corn. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Homegrown stuff.
Are human beings the only animal, and let's admit it, we are animals, that that does jerk off to Simpsons porn?
Oh, I was gonna say no until that last qualifier. But we might be. I don't know.
Are we
the only animals that jerk off to pornography? Are we the only animals that have pornography?
I think so, because like
other animals can't make images.
Yeah, I don't think other animals can like run sound and lighting and all that stuff.
Well, even just a drawing or a sculpture.
Oh, okay.
You know, you don't think some gorilla somewhere drew a big pair of titties in the sand.
We probably saw some gorilla drawing porn and like didn't interpret it as such and thought it was cute, and it's just like on YouTube.
Yeah, there's gotta be, you know, footage of Coco signing, you know, like show Coco movie, you know. Coco watch special movie.
Do you think like gorillas are into like big tits and stuff?
I don't know.
Or like big asses?
I mean, I think that there's a spectrum just is in human preferences.
So some gorillas do like big tits and big asses.
Yes, I would posit that some gorillas like big tits.
What about dogs? Like dogs, like a big old dog butt?
Yeah, I mean, famously, they love butts.
They like a big butt, though? Or they just like any butt?
I don't think they're discerning. I think they just like butts.
Yeah. And we can learn something from the dogs in that respect, can't we?
Mm.
Can't we, Kyle?
Yeah.
No. I don't want to.
You only like the big ones.
Did I say that?
Okay, he only likes the tiny little butts.
I only like the little bitty butts.
Flat as a pancake.
All right, let's look at this. Continuing Helmet Week. This is from April 23rd. Heathcliff and his robot friend are walking down the sidewalk. Heathcliff's wearing a cat helmet. The robot's wearing a robot helmet. In the grass is a worm, a tiny little worm wearing a worm helmet that's way too big for him. And in the trees, two birds are talking, and one of them is saying, "Even the worms got one."
This is pretty inscrutable.
I like this one.
Well, I stand corrected.
Wait, what? Can you like in a just couple of sentences explain the lore of helmets in Heathcliff?
Yeah, I think basically all you really need to know is the helmets accomplish one of two things. They either just identify exactly what the thing is, so like in this case, robot, cat, worm, or they tell you the internal feeling of the thing wearing the helmet, like the no fear mouse. Is that a fair summary, Nick?
Yeah, I think so. Or they tell you like what they love. Like sometimes Heath will just wear a helmet that says ham on it because he loves ham so much.
Yeah, that's true too.
But is there like a genesis of how the like helmets were introduced? It was just like one day Heathcliff was wearing a cat helmet.
What are you talking about? I don't understand the question. What's not to understand? He wears helmets for different purposes.
I do wonder what the first helmet kind of, have we never figured this out? Like, what's the first helmet?
This Day in Heathcliffstery?
Yeah. Well, that's not what This Day in Heathcliffstery was about. That was but yeah. That's
pretty interesting. Yeah.
I guess I'm just curious because when I look, you know, with fresh eyes at not knowing much about the Heathcliff helmet, what would you say, device, it makes me think of like the trope of like someone with like intellectual disabilities or a big
helmet. I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Like they're, and then because it's such stupid things on their helmets, like, you know, like a cat walking around with a cat helmet, like, just makes you think like there's something stupid about this cat, right?
I didn't think that there's something stupid about him.
Yeah, no, you're maybe sort of positing that the cat wears the helmet to remember that he's a cat. Right, like something like that. I don't know.
Can the worm read?
Can the worm read?
How did it write worm on the helmet?
Well, we don't know that the worm wrote the word worm.
Yeah, it may have bought the
helmet. It may have purchased a pre-made worm helmet. I dropped a link into the chat to a Heathcliff comic. I just searched helmet on Heathcliff.ai, and.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing.
That might be the first one. I don't know.
Wow, 2003. Okay, let's take a look here.
I mean, I'm assuming they're in order, but I don't know.
Okay, but this is just a helmet, not a helmet with anything written on it. But it's,
right, yeah,
it's a man tossing Heathcliff. I guess it's Sonia's owner tossing Heathcliff out the door, sort of a DJ Jazzy Jeff style, and Heathcliff is flying through the door. And he's wearing a helmet and
DJ Jazzy Jeff style.
Now, that one's funny.
The woman owner is saying the woman owner. one of Sonia's owners, who happens to be a woman, is saying, "It's nice to see a boyfriend who brings his own crash helmet."
Owners now, Nick.
Call them what?
Just call them owners now.
Yeah, the regular owner and the woman owner. I just dropped another link. I think this one might be the first word helmet.
Okay, yeah, that was the one I just found too. So this
we both found it.
This is Heathcliff standing at the table while a ham is being served. And he's wearing a helmet that says ham on it. And Iggy is saying, "Watch out, he's wearing the helmet."
This is pretty good.
Yeah.
Heathcliff's also huge in this one.
Yeah. This is from 2007, October 24th, 2007.
He's as big as this table.
He's bigger than the ham.
Much bigger than the ham. Yeah. You can take that thing down in one bite.
So the ham helmet may have been the first helmet with a word written on it.
I think that, I mean, that makes sense that it would be the ham helmet.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
See, these ones make sense, but the thing is you keep iterating on these things and then it becomes, I guess this is why you guys like this stuff, huh?
Yeah, you gotta...
Yeah.
you do have to like know the lore, I guess. But if you don't know the lore, it's I feel like it's even better. Like it's even funnier.
Yeah, you don't need to. You don't need to know all this stuff for even the Worms Got One to work. It's a worm with a big helmet.
And what? The birds are
There's
jealous.
There's nothing to get here. There's nothing to understand.
And there's a robot there, and he's got a helmet too. That's great.
Yeah, you don't need to know anything.
Yeah, I'm just easing into, you know, my everything I know about the world is resisting it, but I need to just, you know, let myself love it.
Can't you just have fun? does everything have to be a puzzle to solve?
No,
you know.
And that's the thing. In the funny pages, I would just reject it from confusion and then go to the crossword puzzle. And I found solace there.
Whoa. So you were solving the crossword puzzles, but you couldn't put together Marmaduke.
I struggled with Marmaduke. But what? This is good for me. I'm breaking down these walls.
Well, here we have April 24th, the garbage ape has returned. He's strolling down the street, bopping down the street with garbage cans in the other hand. And the cats, of course, are rejoicing. And Heathcliff is there. And the cats are wearing helmets that say ape on them. And there are owls in the tree. And one of the owls is saying, they love the garbage ape.
It's April.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's April.
Hey, I know about the garbage ape from the song. The intro song.
Oh, yeah. What does it say about the garbage ape?
It says they're waiting for the garbage
That's right.
ape.
Yeah.
And here he is.
Here he is. He's arrived.
Does this garbage ape like big titties?
That's a good question.
It's a really good question. I did another Heathcliff.ai search for garbage ape to see if there had been any ape helmets before, and I'm not seeing any.
Wow.
Because okay. I initially saw this comic, you know, on Instagram or whatever. And
you're
and
like, it's been done.
Yeah, kind of. I was like, wow, Peter, I mean, this is... You know, this is we've seen the children love the garbage ape or whatever it is, you know. But no, I was wrong. They were not wearing helmets before.
Yes, this is brand new stuff. This is good stuff.
Yeah, this is groundbreaking material.
Does this clarify that they love ape and not the garbage? Like even ape without garbage, they would love. It's not the garbage. They love.
That's a really good question.
I think they love this ape. They love the garbage ape.
They do love the garbage ape because the cats love the garbage. It's less the ape thing. But yes, but the fact that they are wearing a helmet that says ape and not a helmet that says garbage, like they could just as easily be wearing a helmet that says garbage. So that's instructive.
And are the birds the truth tellers of Heathcliff?
Yeah, they're kind of like the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Yeah.
So maybe not the truth tellers, but they're just kind of always there. They see it all, you know.
The chorus, sort of.
Yes.
The
meat chorus. The meat chorus. Right? Does that work?
I think so. Okay. Well, let's move on to. Always nice to see the garbage ape, but let's move on to April 25th. He was walking down the sidewalk. He's got a helmet that says bees on it, and he's looking happy, smiling. And in the background are some beekeepers with bees flying all around them. Heathcliff's got bees flying all around his head, too. But one of the beekeepers is saying, I've always wanted to try the helmet.
This one... I love, but I couldn't explain it to you. I really couldn't explain it to you.
Well, I think the beekeeper is saying it would be nice if they didn't have to wear these beekeeper suits and these hats with the lace front in front of me. What if I just wore a bee helmet?
Yeah, but he's getting stung all over.
Yeah, I think
he's got no protection other than the top of his head.
Yeah, probably.
He's getting fucked up by those bees.
I hope he's not allergic.
Ah, so those bees that are following Heathcliff came from the colony or whatever that these people have in the yard. Because I was thinking he brought his own bees. And
I was
actually,
thinking that too.
the moment they flock to him.
Yeah, that's what I was
Yeah,
thinking.
I think that's more likely.
So
We
when he.
don't know the origin of these bees.
Right, he wants to get stung if he's getting stung.
Oh, he's a nasty boy.
I mean, he certainly likes bees. He's wearing a damn bee helmet. Or a
That's
bee's
why
helmet.
they want to try the helmet too, because they wish they could be freaks like Heathcliff.
Yeah. You think Heathcliff likes big asses?
Nick, stop asking
Wondering
that.
like what he likes about those bees.
There's been a couple of appearances of the beekeepers, just FYI. I was
Okay,
curious.
we don't have time to get into it, Kyle. We have one
Oh.
more comic to go.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Wow, the
So
freak continues.
this is from April 26th. Grandpa Nutmeg is walking to the bathroom with a helmet that says shave, and he's sort of in a state of undress. He's wearing, it looks like pajama pants and a tank top, like undershirt, white undershirt, with I think a towel draped over his shoulder, and he's shoeless. His weird freaky feet are on display. But he's also got a little bit of a stubble on his face, which we're used to only seeing his dumb mustache, but he's got a little bit of a beard going. And in the background, Iggy is talking to Heathcliff, and Iggy is saying, "Grandpa is going to shave."
So this is the example of where the word on the helmet it shows their internal dialogue.
Well, no, it's not even any of, I was going to say, it's not even any of the 3D scenarios we posited earlier. It's another thing, which is that the helmet shows the action the person is currently engaged in. It's like if you were playing a turn-based role-playing game and, you chose like fight, just like the word fight popped up. It's like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah,
Right,
Grandpa.
intention.
Yeah.
Yes. Grandpa woke up, put on his shave helmet, and walked over to the
Not his shaving helmet. It
bathroom
shaving his shaving helmet sounds like, I'm putting it on to protect myself while shaving or something like that. No, it's his shave helmet. It's the helmet he wears when he shaves.
I feel like it could be, this could be kind of a helpful ADHD strategy. You know, because it's like, okay, you think the thought, oh, I need to shave. And then when you put that helmet on, then now your body is doing that thing and maybe you get distracted, but then you eventually you see yourself in the mirror or something and you're like, oh yeah, shave.
That's a really good point. It's like tying a string around your finger, right? It's just a little reminder.
But like a string that has a tag on it that says shave.
Shave, do the thing. Yeah.
I like this one.
That's
I
good.
like it because his pajama situation is exactly like my grandfather. It just reminds me of it almost the same, color and striped pajama pants,
Kind
white
of,
tank top.
it's like he's almost got little bell bottom pants,
Yeah,
Yeah.
they are a little bell-bottomy.
And he's got the, those feet are weird, huh?
Those feet are weird. Those are some weird little piggies.
He's got an interesting stride going on. It's very, you know, he's really pulling that shin back to step.
He looks like that keep on trucking guy.
I was trying to look him. I was trying to look it up. I couldn't remember what it was called.
You know, if this had been the 421, it would make sense to me.
Grandpa. High as hell, which is why he put on the helmet because he can't. He's just going,
Oh yeah, just like
they keep on trucking.
dude. The
Yeah.
keep on trucking guy is so cool. What a
Have
cool guy!
you seen that picture? I think this came up on my other podcast, Hungry Cat Daily, where we looked at Garfield comic strips. But have you seen That picture of John Lennon where he's doing the keep on trucking thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, I'm so glad that somebody happened to be there while he was doing this to take that picture.
You think that's he's directly referencing Keep on Truckin'?
I think so, yeah.
You don't think he's just doing like the you don't think he's doing like Mike Python Ministry of Silly Walks or something?
Oh, that's possible.
Way lamer.
That's possible.
He is but British. I think,
yeah. Now you I'm looking
Fidel Castro hanging out there in the back.
Okay. Yeah, I was trying to get some context in the picture, but I can't find it. I always figured though it was him imitating the keep on trucking thing, but
yeah,
maybe not.
No. Makes sense. I buy it.
Yeah.
They were cooking. Whoever designed the keep on trucking guy was cooking.
Yeah, I think was it R. Crumb?
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was R. Crumb.
Oh, sick.
Robert Crumb? Does he go by R. Crumb? Yeah, R. Crumb.
Yeah, R. Crumb.
Okay, well, hey, that just about wraps it up, except we've been looking at art and talking about it. So this is a thinker, and it's a man sitting on a piece of rock. I think he's nude, and he's sort of... He's got.
If he's not, there's some piece of clothing. I don't know what it's accomplishing.
Yeah, and he's resting his chin on his wrist, I guess. And he really does look like he's thinking. That's one of the best things I can say about this piece.
Nick loves art that has a goal and clearly accomplishes it.
And states it.
Yeah. And yeah, just flat out.
That's why I like Starry Night so much. You got to admit there's some stars in that painting, huh?
Yeah, but even that is a little too abstract.
Could be clearer that it is a Starry Night.
This is clearly just a guy thinking. This motherfucker is thinking.
So why do we love this so much? And we do love it so much, don't we, folks?
We do. We love the thinker, folks. He's lost in thought. I don't know. The thing that strikes me about looking at it is he's not making a fist. His hand is like flat, and he's resting on it flat, which is. Really interesting. We like to use the art to get to know our guests. What do you guys? What's your like thinking pose? Like, what do you do?
What do I do?
Face touching.
I think I definitely bring my hand up to my head, and maybe to the back of my head. Just one hand on the back of my head.
I'll do what I'm doing now, which is hands crossed behind my head.
Yeah, and I'll definitely look with my eyes will look up.
I'll look away. I'll close my eyes to think sometimes, which is a real stupid guy thing to do. My dad does it. I got it from my dad. He'll close his eyes at the drive-thru, which we would always make fun of him for. But
then he can't read what they're...
He'll be like at a drive-thru going, eyes closed going... let me get a quarter pounder meal, you know. It's so funny.
Wow. I'm trying to think what I definitely do.
Well, you were thinking.
I'll do
Does
like
Does this feel natural?
I've gotten a lot of like people often when I'm in thought will interrupt me to say what's wrong. So, I make a very angry face. I kind of scrunch my face up a lot when I'm thinking. And then I also will like if I'm really lost in like daydreaming or whatever, I'll like be picking hairs out my face and like you know like being a gross person but I don't completely unaware that I'm doing it. I'll also like you know have like taken off my cuticles without and like just started spurting blood everywhere without noticing at all. So that's, I guess, my thinking
post. I mean, I'll just do that. I'm not even thinking. I'll do that when I'm not thinking, you know.
Yeah, maybe I'm not. No, I guess I'm unsure when I'm thinking.
You live the life of the mind. You're always thinking.
I unironically do think that I'm always.
I've been putting my hands behind my back a lot of late. And I don't know. I'm a little concerned. I'm honestly a little concerned I'm doing it too much.
Why are you doing it too much?
I don't know. It just feels like, I don't know. I just get really self-conscious about the way I appear to people when I've got my hands behind my back. And I'm sometimes it's thinking, sometimes it's not related to that at all. Sometimes it's just if I'm in conversation with somebody and I'll kind of put my hands behind my back and kind of tilt my head, like I'm not like looking at them, but I'm like listening to them, and then I'll like re-engage back with them. It's a very weird, I don't know what I'm doing. This has not been a lifelong thing. It's like in recent years I've just started doing this.
Well, I think that's like having your hands behind your back when you're talking to somebody is like the body language of like being like open or receptive, right? Versus like the crossed arms in front is like fuck yeah. off, not really listening to you, even if you are listening. So maybe that's what you're just trying to be more open.
Yeah, I guess so. And I think a lot of it is also maybe like it's too deep for this podcast, but it maybe is like coming from more confidence. The hands behind the back, because like I got a gut, and a lot of my life was spent like, you know, just like not, you know, trying to hide it, or like hands over, or like hands in my pockets or something, you know. And to stand with your hands behind your back and have a gut is like a real, it's like you're accentuating the thing, you know, you're like calling attention to it. And but I don't think about it really anymore as I'm doing it, you know. There was like a time in my life where I would have been like, no, stop doing this, you know.
Wow, good for you.
It's growth, baby.
Let me ask you guys a question, getting back to the thinker real quick.
No.
When do you think this sculpture was made?
Oh, I could not. Yeah, I absolutely could not tell you. I do not want to guess.
Kat, you have a guess?
One thousand.
That's a good guess. 1904.
Wow.
Way later than I expected.
Yeah.
What?
And there's even a photograph of the man that was the model. It was I didn't have everyone. It's a boxer. This guy.
Crazy.
Damn, that's nice. Look at that.
Yeah. He's got a nice physique.
Perfect calf, because the calf is the best part of the sculpture.
Yeah, the calf is really...
sinewy calf.
Yeah.
I don't even know you have that many different muscles and fascia in there.
I don't think we do. I think Rodin was freestyling a little bit here.
A little artistic license. Do you think Rodin, do you think he liked big asses? Or did he like...
I think he liked big muscles.
Yeah. All right.
If you liked the ass, though, you would have had a different pose, you know?
Yeah. He's not... The ass is severely minimized in this.
Maybe that's because he was so self-conscious about how fixated he truly was on ass.
Oh, that's a really good point. That's a really good point.
Or really, actually a toilet, but then he was like, no.
Yeah, that's why the rock is, but it's just like kind of unfit. There's no like form to it. It was a toilet, but.
They actually were like, don't, his friends like talked about it. Like, don't
he stepped it. Back and was like, I don't know, guys, I like it. Like, no, man, you can't. He's like, and I call it the stinker.
All right. Kyle, we got to get a song for this segment for when we look at
for the art. Yeah, we do. Yeah. We really do.
I'll work on that for next.
Yeah,
week.
Find some you know, public domain classical music.
Let's get it arted in here.
Oh, yep, there it is. Got it in one. No further punch up needed. We got it.
Well, Kat, thank you for joining us this week on the Meatcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, is there anything you want to plug or anything like that?
Oh.
I can't promise you it'll do any good, but
you have to stop minimizing the effectiveness of coming on our podcast. We were on television.
That's right. Check out. We tweeted a link to it at Heathcliff Recap. Kyle and I were interviewed by Terrence Dollar for what's it called?
Comic Culture. It's
Comic Culture.
North Carolina Public Access, or not Public Access,
public
PBS
television.
Public Television program.
Okay, so I guess all y'all listeners in North Carolina, you should come to Sunday night improv shows in Austin.
You should. Kat and I will both be there.
Yeah, every other week, opening for All Night, All Night, All Night with the new team, Candy Necklace, and also all y'all in North Carolina. In July, me and Kyle are going to be in Gutenberg the Musical at Cold Town Theater. I know it's a ways out still, but mark your freaking calendars.
Flights.
Yeah,
book to Austin only. This is all.
It's Austin. It's all Austin only. But I know we got listeners in Austin.
Yeah, we sure do.
Yeah, Kat.
Our friends.
Yeah. Well, and this will be my last. I'll listen to this. One,
yeah,
and that will mark my last time.
Yeah, you're gonna walk into the ocean like Godzilla,
knowing that now I do understand Heathcliff, and it's, you know, not for me.
What?
What the hell?
Just kidding.
Cut his mic.
Okay, that's the end of the show. Until next time, that bothers me.